Dancers have a lot to balance. From their pirouettes to their jumps, a dancer's performance is a direct result of hard work and motivation. So where does food fit into this? There's a lot of myths and a ton of antiquated ideals about what a dancer's diet should look like. And I'm here to dispel those. I'm Rachel Fine, registered dietitian nutritionist and founder of To The Point Nutrition. I'm the dance nutritionist, and I'm here to tell you that to be a successful dancer, you don't have to diet. Instead, I'll teach you how to use food as your best tool to enhance your performance. A nourishing meal plan not only fuels your dancing, but also enhances your strength, improves your balance, supports your flexibility, and most importantly, reduces your risk to injury. Hi dancers, welcome back to Conversations with the Pros, where today I am chatting with Rachel Hamrick. Hi Rachel.
Hi.
How are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm good, thank you so much for joining me. I'm really happy that we finally have been able to make this happen.
Yes, thank you so much for having me. I feel like this is a great conversation to have, and I'm looking forward to it.
Yes, absolutely. So Rachel, I'd love for you to give us an introduction about who you are, what you do now, and then we'll dive into your journey a bit, because I know there's been, I feel like, a lot of cool things that you have done under your belt, and I want to hear about everything.
Yeah, definitely. So I started classically training with the Kirov Academy, which is sadly no longer here, and the school closed last year. And then I started dancing professionally with a lot of different companies, you know, in Asia, in Europe, Canada, United States. So my career was very diverse, which was, in retrospect, really cool, because I think I got a lot of different input, and I got to observe from a global standpoint a lot of, you know, things that go on in this, in the ballet world dance community, which is very, you know, tight knit, and everything kind of circles back. Everybody kind of knows each other. And then my journey, you know, like a lot of other dancers, I was injured. And so then I started finding cross training. And then that's what's led me down a lot of different roads and paths with cross training for dancers. Because once I found that, it was just something I wish I had realized so much younger and been able to implement from a younger age and avoid, you know, all the complications and issues that seem so individual and personal, but everybody's going through it. So it just seems like something that can be addressed.
Yes, absolutely. And I feel like there's two main benefits here in regard to dancers understanding the benefit of cross-training on their dancing, right? It's the actual benefit to their dancing and helping with strengthening those supportive muscles and so, I mean, obviously it goes way deeper than that, but also just the idea of having something else, not being too tunnel-minded when it comes to your actual training, right, in class. It's so important that dancers start to think about the idea of having other aspects of life that they're working on or that they're challenging or trying. For you, it sounded like an injury was this window into broadening your experience as a dancer. Is that right?
Yes. And, you know, Rachel, I couldn't agree more. I definitely think that, you know, as dancers, we can be so, you know, which is good. We're very disciplined. You know, you can be very focused, and it has a lot, I'm sure, with nutrition. It's, you know, I think with everything, it's balance. And, you know, you're not going to find everything by taking like 3 ballet classes a day. That's only going to get you injured. It's sometimes it's you got to take a step back and break down and not be so tunnel visioned. I feel like that's definitely how I was. If I could have gone back to my younger self and looked at the broader picture, you know, I think it could have helped. But honestly, this story is so common. It's so common. It's like, you know, I work with a lot of students too. It's your goal is to get to professional, and then you don't think necessarily past that. And then there's so many professionals that, you know, drop out because of injuries and the demand of the day and the schedule. And, just the surviving in that life. So you have to find your balance for sure.
Absolutely. And it is very similar to nutrition. Nutrition being this tool like cross training that could be so helpful in enhancing the dancer's performance. But at the same time, my next question that I want to ask you is that nutrition can also be something that can turn to be something that's actually not helpful for a dancer, especially when it comes to that perfectionist tunnel vision mindset in a dancer thinking that food, the only function of food is fuel for dancing, right? And kind of forgetting that there are other aspects to food, that food is also meant to be an enjoyable part of life. So my work with dancers so often is not only teaching them about this functional benefit of food, but also how their relationship with food is just as important. So I wanna hear a little bit more from you about how you maintain a healthy relationship with fitness and with cross training in particular, and how you encourage dancers to do exactly that, because I think you would be familiar, just as I'm familiar, working with dancers, this population that tends to be more obsessive and have that type A perfectionist mindset. I'm sure you see this with cross training as well. So what do you have to say about that? How do you help dancers kind of take steps back even from cross training?
Yeah, I feel like that's so good. That's such a good topic. It's so good for, you know, students and even young dancers to hear. You know, I think that empowering yourself as one, so it's really checking in with yourself, the mindfulness. You know, I think meditation is a great tool for dancers, you know, to check in with yourself, because it can become so external, even with nutrition or fitness. If you're doing it for this external result, it's never going to get you to what your goal is. You know, even if you're only dancing because you want to get casted for external, you know, validation, it's only going to leave, maybe you'll get that, but you're still not going to be happy. You're still not going to feel like you reach your goal. So I definitely think it's empowering you to learn, to educate yourself, and, you know, check in with yourself, which with nutrition and fitness, check in with yourself. It's not this one size fits all, like, well, you know, she's doing it over here, so I have to do it. You know, checking with yourself and what you need for that day. And, you know, it is very common globally too, you know, once dancers get professional, like some of them, you check in with themselves and say, I need a mental break, you know, and that is something that there's mental time off. So it's being able to check in with yourself and not just being this quiet yes person in the back, which I think, you know, can happen sometimes from student to professional. It's, you know, every day is different. And yeah, so I think that's in a gist, that's part of it for sure.
Yeah, I think that's a major part of it. Also with nutrition as well, you know, being able to reflect and identify and have awareness towards your behaviors and how they're supporting you. Like, are they supporting you as a whole being? Are they supporting your dancing, or are they actually limiting you? I was just having a conversation with one of my dancer clients earlier today about, you know, even though, let's say, I always go back to the example of clean eating, okay? Clean eating is very much this mindset of choosing very healthy, often sometimes described as like pure foods. And
right.
Even though the intent behind that could be to like support quote unquote health or performance, that there is oftentimes this solid, helpful intent behind it, it's often very restrictive and leads to a very poor relationship with a dancer with their food, can lead to isolation down the road and so forth. So it's a matter of having this ability to reflect upon your choices, upon your habits, and making sure that they're sustainable. One thing for me, a question that I'm always able to ask myself is like, am I able to do this for the long run? You know what I mean? So right. It's like, mm-hmm. And I'm, do you have this thing with cross training routines as well in regard to asking yourself, like, can I do this repertoire of training for the long run, or am I setting myself up to feel very burnt out? I guess that's really my question is, how do you really burn out?
Right, exactly. And, you know, with your cross training, I think that especially if you're training in something as serious as, you know, ballet technique, dance technique, or, you know, even an athlete, then that's, you have to remember that's what you're doing. You're not like a regular person, like, you know, even myself now, like I'm not training like that. That's different. So your cross training really has to supplement your day and what your immediate, your long-term goals are and your immediate term goals. So it's, again, that not that one size fits all, you know, that's why it's hard for, I think, dancers or athletes to, unless they're older and can handle it, to pop into just a general, like Soul Cycle class or something, you know, like that's, you know, meant for the general population, because it's, you know, it's not every day, like, push yourself, you know, in your cross training routine like that. Some days, you know, my dancers will be like, I'm really sore because I had a 5-hour rehearsal yesterday and I have a performance tomorrow. Okay, so today maybe we need to work a little bit more on your breath, your meditation, and, you know, getting your mind centered, because that's part of the whole package. Just pushing yourself to an extreme isn't going to get you, isn't going to get you to where you want to go. It just isn't. We see it over and over again. It's just, I know some people have to learn the hard way, but it's extreme in any direction is not sustainable.
Absolutely. And I think that fitness culture and diet culture, are similar in that sense with, when we're talking about like the standard population, the mindset of doing things to the extreme is unfortunately so prevalent out there. And I think that becomes even more attractive for dancers who, again, tend to be a population that is more vulnerable to that type A mindset. You know what I mean? So I often say that, even for my own self, I can't have somebody tell me to do something 100% because I translate that as needing to do it 200%.
Right, right.
Someone to tell me to do it 50%.
Right, right.
And I think that sounds like very similar in regards to the work that you're doing. And also, by the way, the importance of dancers seeking professionals like yourself, because there is no one size fits all. And I argue to say that your standard Soul Cycle class, I don't even think it's promoting the best habits for the standard population, let alone.
Right. Yes. Yeah.
So, so talk to us a little bit about, you know, what dancers should be looking for, and of course where they can find you and your services, and really just what they should be looking for when they are trying to now put together a cross training routine.
Yes. And, you know, there's so much at your fingertips now available, but way more than when I was a student. It just wasn't there. It's, you know, I had the, you know, the old school way of, okay, I have to sit in an oversplit with sandbags on my ankles for an hour. And that's it. Like, I didn't have anything else at my fingertips. And trust me, I'm paying for it now later in life. But I'm shouting it at the young students, especially, like, don't do this. There's so much out there that is at your fingertips, and you don't need to go down these same roads. And plus, if you're looking at the rhythmic gymnasts, I love rhythmic gymnasts. I train with them all the time. They don't just do that. They do everything else around that. They need that mobility for their, you know, their sport, but they don't do that. So it's like, I think that the ballet dancers take that one thing and think that's how I'm going to be, like, that strength that the rhythmics have. But I think that with cross training, you have to just look for well-roundedness. And then especially somebody who, especially if you're a student or even more a student, but also professional, but most important student, you have to go with somebody that understands. If you're classically training a ballet technique, you have to go with someone who understands what the demands are that are being asked of you. And what your goals are, and just, you know, well-roundedness for sure. I definitely think mental meditation, yoga is definitely really, really important for dancers as well, but you can find me, at Hamrick Method. So I have on Instagram, my personal Instagram, rachel.hamrick, or at Hamrick Method, or, at hamrickmethod.com. I do have an online virtual studio that I just started a year ago, where I'm trying to put out as much as I can, classes that you can access anywhere in as little as 5 minutes, just to kind of stay up with it, because consistency is key. And you know, I think that it goes back to empowering the dancer to learn and take it upon themselves to do it, not just show up at the class, force way through it, and then get injured. It's, you've got to take it upon yourself to empower yourself to learn all this stuff as well.
Absolutely. And I say this a lot, but there are so many pros. Of course, there are so many cons to having all of this information at our fingertips and dancers comparing themselves.
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
Other dancers or to the tricks versus the actual, right? But one thing that social media has given us is access to really incredible resources like yourself and the information that you are putting out there. So I highly encourage all of the dancers listening, all the dancers who are going to be listening, to check out Rachel's resources, because they are super helpful. And construction, similar to nutrition.
Yes.
A plan that is supportive of you is incredibly important. It's even more important to make sure that that information that you're getting for that plan is coming from a source who understands dancers, who is credible,
right,
and knows what they're obviously doing. So, which you do.
Right. And yeah, just having understanding, you might need to have your team. Like, you've got to put your team in place. And, you know, some companies globally are doing it for their professionals. Like, I know in Australia and England, like, they have full teams of, like, nutritionists and sports doctors and gyrotonics and Pilates and PTs, like, all there for the dancers, which is, you kind of need that. You need to find your team and understand, you know, one, a physical therapist isn't there as your trainer. They're there when you're injured. So you need your physical therapist, you need cross training, you need nutrition, massage, like, you know, you need to have your team there, because it is a really rigorous lifestyle, and you're asking your body of a lot. It's a lot of demand on your body, and you know, most sports have it. Most athletes do this, so it's really important for, I think, dancers to learn that.
Of course, yeah. You know, having that interdisciplinary work is essential. Mental health, nutrition, cross training, all of it. I'm hoping that from what I see in my work, I see the university level are lacking a bit in regards to having these resources. So I'm hoping that that lag can like catch up a little bit, you know what I mean? Especially at least in the States, at the university level. But I agree. I'm also seeing companies get smarter now in the, within the 5 years and really having these resources. Not all companies, unfortunately, but a lot of them I am seeing. So that's awesome. I agree with you.
Yes.
And you know, that it's so helpful to like hear your words, hear your insight, to also have your resources for dancers. And to, I love the encouragement of just dancers feeling empowered in of themselves. And similar to nutrition, if we're only focused on these external goals that are kind of within diet culture, they're really always focused on how our body looks. And when we're focused on those external goals, we don't end up anywhere except for a place of burnout. For dancers, very often it's in a place of injury. So I think having the empowerment, having the intrinsic drive to want to formulate sustainable habits is so incredibly important, not just from a nutrition standpoint, but also in your cross training routine.
Right. Yes. No, I love that. Yeah. It's not about like, how you said was really good. And I'm not the type of trainer that's there like yelling at you or degrading you. I am so against that. It's about you. So what do you need today? And even as little as a 10-year-old, like, you need to talk to me. How are you feeling today? What are your goals? Like, if you don't understand something, tell me. Like, it needs to be a conversation, and it's really empowering, you know, the dancers from a young age, I think.
Absolutely. Well, I appreciate you actually having this role in shifting the fitness industry, because the fitness industry, just like the nutrition industry, does need to be shifted sooner than later. So I appreciate you doing that and encouraging that. It's been so nice chatting with you.
Yeah, you too, Rachel.
So much.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Yes, of course. And we'll be in touch, okay?
Okay, for sure.